Well, good evening, everybody. Very welcome to, it's nice to have you with us. You're all the way back from the United States. Welcome back. Who's here for the first time tonight? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, bless God. Who was here last week? The rest of you, why did you bunk? Okay. So, last week I spoke to you on Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm going to recap a little bit because last week our recording didn't record. The video videoed, but the recording didn't record. So now I'm a little bit behind and I have to catch up. Is that all right with everybody? Well, bless God. Isaiah chapter 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach." Okay, let's just stop there. The first thing that I want to make very clear to you is Jesus is speaking and he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because." If I say to you the word "because," what does it imply? There is a reason why something is said before "because." We're now going to be given the reason why. And this to me is very important. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to just hana. He doesn't come to just hang around. He comes to do something. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's time to do something." Yeah. They say evil wins because good men do nothing. The Holy Spirit doesn't believe in doing nothing. The Holy Spirit wants to do something. It's time to do something. All right, so Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because." Now, how many of you somewhere in your life has prayed and said to the Lord, "Lord, I want more of your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon me. Lord, may the anointing increase upon my life." Is there anybody here? Oh, well, that's like half of you, three quarters of you. The rest of you, maybe you'll start praying that after today. Amen? All right. So, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because." I want to show you the "because." But before I get to that, I want to share something with you that's very, very important. It's easy to read this and just kind of like assign it to the life of Christ, because it is a prophecy concerning Jesus that was to come. And Jesus himself quoted that prophecy and said, "Today in your midst this has been fulfilled." But the Bible also says, "In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." That's flesh. Amen. That's flesh. It's not as furry as that, but it's still flesh. That's flesh. It's very furry. "The Spirit of the Lord will be poured out upon all flesh." Look at your neighbor and say, "There's hope for you. There's hope for you." Amen. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord will be poured out," the Bible says, "in the last days." When is the last days? Okay, just to put it into perspective, for in case you haven't figured this out yet, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the day when the Spirit of God was poured out, the first time that there was a mass outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon people, gets up, and in a way of explaining to the people what happened, he quotes from the book of Joel chapter 2. And he quotes, "In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." But when did he say these words? He said it 2,000 years ago. So according to the Bible, 2,000 years ago, we already entered the last days. So if he was already speaking in the last days, where are we today? Well, we are in the last of the last of the very last. You know that advert, "The last of the salty crack snacks"? Well, we're in the last of the, you know, that type of thing. There's not that much time left. And the implication is also very clear. The closer we get to the end of the age, the more outpouring of the Spirit of God there will be. Why? Because the Bible also makes it very clear that the closer we get to the end of the age, the more evil is going to propagate. The devil's going to be much busier in the end of the age. Was it as bad in Jesus' day as it is today? You know, with all due respect, there was evil back then, but it's nothing compared to the evil that manifests today. Today, evil is blatant. Today, evil is in your face. Today, there is no control over evil. Evil does what it wants. Have you noticed? Put your television on. Look at the news. Look at the programs that's showing. Yeah, look at your cell phone. Yeah, that's true. Evil is busy. But does God just leave us to our own devices? Does he just say, okay, well, you know what? It's going to be really bad back then, and I feel very sorry for Rian that he was born in this time. No. The Lord equips us. This might be a prophecy concerning Christ, but this is true wherever the Spirit of God is poured out. Jesus became this person when the Spirit of God came upon him. We all know that Jesus Christ was always the Son of God, but it was when he was anointed by the Holy Spirit that he went into the desert, conquered the devil, put him under his feet, went out there, cast out devils, healed the sick, cleansed the leper, raised the dead. Amen? Amen. Now, the Bible says the Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. The Spirit was poured out upon Jesus. He went and moved in the power of God. The Bible says the Spirit of God will be poured out upon you and me. Can we do what Jesus did? Well, even he said, you will do what I have done and even greater things you will do. And I've said to you many times, I don't really know what he meant by the greater things, but if I can do what he did, I'll be very happy. Amen? I'll be very happy. And there's no good reason why we can't, because the same Spirit that came upon the life of Jesus Christ is going to be poured out upon your life and upon my life. In fact, Jesus said, if anybody is thirsty, come to me and drink. And I will give you, the water that I give you will cause you to never thirst again. And the Bible then says in brackets, he said that concerning the Holy Spirit, which was not yet poured out. So why is it important for us to look at this? Because it's not just applicable to the life of Jesus. This is also applicable to your life and to my life. Why? Because the same Spirit that came upon Jesus is going to come upon you and me. And I want to tell you something. You can't live in the last days without the Spirit of God. Oh yes, you can exist in the last days without the Spirit of God. But there's a big difference between existing and living. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach. Here's something about Jesus that we must never, never, never lose sight of. There is a lot of people that want to do signs and wonders and miracles, but they can't back it up with the Word of God. I want you to understand something. Nothing takes the place of the Word of God. And people that want to do signs and wonders and miracles and whatever, the fact is there has to be the preaching of the Word. If the preaching of the Word is not there, then you have to ask the question, where is this coming from? Because this is how the Spirit of God worked. You know, Jesus did not just walk down the streets and just heal people and cast out devils. We read that he preached the Word. And as he preached the Word and people came to listen to him, he then began to minister to them. Why is it important for it to happen that way? Because John 8 verse 32 also says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. How can God has to first prepare us for what he is about to do? The preaching of the Word opens up your spirit and begins to fill you with the life of Christ, which then prepares you for the power of God that is going to either change you, transform you, heal you, or deliver you. Preaching is extremely important. Doesn't the Bible say my people perish for lack of knowledge? What good is it I can raise the dead, but I don't know the Word of God? And then we also have to ask the question, what power is working through a person like that if they don't know the Word of God, if they don't preach the Word of God? So the Word of God is very important. When the Spirit of God comes upon your life, the Spirit of God begins to work through the Word of God. The two go hand in hand. One of the first things that happened in my life, if I can share with you my testimony, just very quickly. This happened many, many, many moons ago. My son was not yet even born. And I was in a church one night, and there was a visiting evangelist who had just come back from the United Kingdom, where he had attended a revival outpouring of the Holy Spirit. From what I can understand, the power of God began to move in a certain church, in a certain area, and people went from all over the world to this church to experience the power of God. This evangelist went there, he experienced it, came back, and he was still under the anointing and the power of God. And lo and behold, the first church or one of the first churches that he happened to go to was my home church. And that night he came to church and I just happened to be in church. And I'm not going to dwell on that too much because that's a story for another night. But I was in the church that night and God had a plan for my life. But something was missing from my life. Who can tell me what was missing from my life? Well, you can say Jesus, and to some extent you would be correct, but it's not just Jesus. What I want to focus on is what we're talking about now. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. My friend, without the anointing, you can't do nothing for God. Without the anointing, you're trying to do it in your flesh. Without the anointing, you're trying to do it in your own power. The Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that night I was in this church and this man was preaching under the anointing. In fact, I want to say it to you this way, because he has anointed me to preach good news. That man that night walked into that church and he preached good news. It might not have been good news to anybody else there. I don't know if it was. I don't know if it wasn't. But it was good news to me because something began to happen in me. As I sat there and I listened to this man's words, something began to happen inside of me. I started feeling weird. I started getting hot. I started getting boiling hot. In fact, it felt like my seat was on fire. My mind was racing because I was trying to understand what was happening. My heart was beating so fast that I could hear it in my eardrums. And above that, these words kept coming. And that was the first time that I experienced that words can cut to your soul and not enter your mind. Because those words, even though my mind heard them, my ears heard them, my heart received them. Something stirred inside of me. And the anointing began to come upon me. I didn't know it back then. Back then, what did I know? I knew nothing. That heat that I felt was the anointing and the power of God that was slowly busy coming upon my life. I went forward that night and this guy prayed with me. When he touched me, a power came upon me. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. That's how I experienced it back then, some power. Today I know it was the Holy Spirit. It was the anointing. And when that anointing came upon me, it was like my whole being became energized. Something began to move inside of me. I spent 4 hours on the floor, crying, laughing, crying, praying, talking to God. When I got up from the floor that night, I was not the same person. I felt completely different. And I cannot explain to you the difference because if you've never felt it, it's extremely difficult to explain. But I felt completely different. You know, when the Bible says we are a new creature in Christ, well, I felt a new creature. I felt new. I felt different. And you know what one of the first changes was that came into my life? This. The Word of God would never be the same to me. You see, here's something that might make sense to you. Because I grew up religious, I always read the Bible. But I want to tell you something. The Bible didn't always make sense to me. In fact, the Bible very seldom made sense to me. I read it out of a sense of duty. I read it because I felt I have to read it, but I can't tell you that it really meant much to me and it spoke to me and all sorts of stuff. I read it. I would read it, read. Okay, I think that's enough for now. I think God's happy with me now. Close it and put it down and then you go to sleep. All right? But suddenly, the Word became alive. Suddenly, things began to jump out at me and speak to me. Now, the interesting thing is, the same things that spoke to me began to speak through me to other people. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach. Guess what? I used to have a problem talking to people. Well, you can see that that disappeared, can't you? Do you know when that disappeared? In that time of my life. I never used to talk about the Bible because I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Suddenly, because the Bible became alive to me, I began to preach. And you know where Jesus says, anointed me to preach good news. I began to find good news everywhere. It's like whatever I read, it was good news. It spoke to my spirit. It changed my life. And then when I began to speak to people, these things would come out of me. And the people would be like, wow. And sometimes I would be like, wow, where did I get that stuff from? Well, I can't take the credit for it because it wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God. Why? Because God has anointed us. Look at your neighbor and say, God has anointed you to preach good news. Amen. Good news. How many of you know it's time for some good news? Because when you switch on the television, it's bad news. When you switch on the radio, it's bad news. Amen. It's time for some good news. Well, the Holy Spirit brings good news. Unless you're a devil, then I've got bad news for you. You're going to go to the pit of hell. It's not negotiable. Because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. To the poor. How should we take the poor? Can the rich not get good news? Of course they can. Poor, yeah, has got nothing to do with your financial status. People living in lack. Lack has nothing to do with money. Some people don't have enough love. Some people don't have enough joy. Some people don't have enough excitement. Some people don't have enough of God. Lack, lack. Do you understand? Poor. Poor in spirit. You have lack in your life and the Spirit of God comes into your life, you begin to experience abundance. Jesus said in the book of John 10:10, the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because through Christ living in you, abundant life begins to raise up inside of you. Amen. The devil doesn't like abundance. The devil likes poverty. The devil likes lack. The devil likes insufficiency, because then we moan and complain and perform all the time, and then we get in a bad place with God. God wants to bring us to a place of abundance. Amen. So, for everybody sitting here that has lack, I have good news for you. Good news. God is well able to provide every one of your needs, and God gives freely. You know, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about now. In this kind of ministry, we deal many times with people that have problems. Okay? Raise your hands if you have no problems. Okay. So you all know what I'm talking about, right? We deal a lot with people that have problems, and some people have really, really massive, big problems, and they don't know how to sort them out. They don't know how to deal with them. And so there is always this enticement from the satanic realm that if you go to this witch doctor, or you go to that Sangoma, or you go to that Swami, or you go to that faith healer, or whatever the case might be, it's going to happen for you. You know, you're going to receive this and that. You'll receive your miracle. You'll receive your healing. You can enlarge certain parts of your anatomy. You know, you can do all sorts of stuff. You can get back your lost love. For a small donation of... sometimes it's not a small donation. These people are not scared to charge you, you know. They charge big time. I've had people sitting in my office tell me they had to fork out 10,000 rand for this and this and this treatment. Then I ask, what happened? No, they got sick. It doesn't work. Because the devil doesn't help people. But the devil has no problem charging people. The occult has no problem charging people. The occult does nothing for free. Listen to me. You go to a witch doctor, they're going to charge you. You go to a fortune teller, they're going to charge you. You go to a spiritist, they're going to charge you. Oh yeah, most of them claim to have some gift from God. But when the Spirit of God moves, He doesn't charge nobody for nothing. Listen to me carefully. You cannot put monetary value on the power of God being released into somebody's life. And when people begin to charge you for so-called services rendered by God, then you better run away, because that's not the Spirit of God moving. It's something else. It's greed. Anyway. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. you have lack in your life, the Spirit of God has a solution for you. And as we get more and more under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, so more and more those areas of our lives begin to change. There was a time in my life where I had plenty lack. One of the biggest areas of lack in my life was when it came to communication. You see, today it's difficult to understand that, but if you knew me many moons ago, there's nobody here that really knew me back then. My mom and dad knew me back then. I wish my mom was here because she will tell you exactly how things were. Me, I was very quiet. Sometimes my mom had to bribe me to talk. She would bribe me with chocolates, or she was going to make my favorite meal if I just come and sit and talk to her. I was very introverted. I was very quiet. I didn't mingle very well. I had lack. Guess what? God gave me abundance. There's a lot of other areas of my life where I had lack. God gave me abundance. And the more we come under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit ministers to us in those areas. He has sent me, listen to this, to bind up the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord wants to bind up, which is another way to say heal, broken hearts. What causes broken hearts? Okay, there's a long list of things that can cause broken hearts, but people get brokenhearted when love affairs come to an end. Maybe a marriage comes to an end. Maybe you were dating somebody and they told you, oh, well, you know what, your best friend is cuter than you are. That can cause a broken heart. You can get a broken heart when you lose a loved one, when your mother or your father or your uncle or your auntie or somebody that was very close to you or your best friend or your wife or your husband or a child passes away. It can create in you a broken heart. I want to almost link it to sadness. It's this deep hurt inside of you that you just can't get rid of. Sometimes we can have a broken heart because of what people have done to us. Somebody mentioned disappointment. You know, sometimes somebody treats us in a way that gives us a wound all the way down into our soul. Do you know how many people are walking around in this world angry and bitter and cranky and full of issues? But it started because of the way people treated them. And then they begin to treat people the same way, which is not good, but they do it. And the Spirit of the Lord wants to fix that. You see, God is aware of the fact that many of us are walking with big wounds in our hearts. It can come through the words of people. We all know that the words of a man or the words of a woman, the words of a father or the words of a mother can cut like a knife. And many of you, if I ask you to come forward, can tell me some hair-raising stories of how your life came to a standstill when this and this and this was said about you or said to your face. We all know that a clap through the face stings for a while, but the words of a person can hurt forever if not dealt with. The enemy sometimes uses the words of people to pierce your heart. If you could see in the spirit world, you would see many people walking with daggers in their heart. Some of them have daggers in their back because people like to talk behind their backs. Others have daggers right here in the heart because it was said to their face. And it stabbed them right here. Now, I want to ask you a question. How, if in the natural, I had to take a dagger and I had to stab him right here, would he have a normal life? No, he'd be dead. There would be consequences to that wound. Now there are going to be consequences to spiritual wounds as well. When people say things about you or treat you in a really, really horrible or unkind way, it has a way of knocking us. And I think there's a couple of people sitting here today, if you really think about it and you think about your life, you're probably going to realize that it was when that and that and that happened that your life started going down. That things changed for you. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Why does Jesus want to heal hearts? Because your heart is the center of who you are. Broken heart, broken person. Where does Jesus live? Well, he has an interesting thought. Jesus lives in your heart. How's he going to live in a broken heart? That heart has to be repaired. That heart has to be fixed. And when the heart gets fixed, a lot of things in your life are going to change. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. If your heart is full of bitterness, your life will be full of bitterness. If your heart is full of anger, your life will be full of anger. If your heart is full of pain, your life will manifest pain. What quality of life are you going to have? So that brokenness that is inside of you needs to be addressed and needs to be changed. And here's the thing. You cannot pop some magical pill that's going to heal your broken heart. Because affairs of the heart belong to God. He's the only one that can deal with them. He's the only one that has access to your heart. You know, there where the hurt is, there where the pain is, there where the disappointment is, there where those daggers sit. He has access to that place. And he can help you. The Holy Spirit wants to minister to the hearts of people. Because people with broken hearts, what do we hold in our hearts? I'm looking for a word starting with L. Your heart is a receptor for love. What does God want to pour out in our hearts? Okay, so if your heart is broken, where's the love going to go? Nowhere. It's going to just flow through you. If I am full of the love of God, the love of God will touch him. The love of God will touch him. The love of God will touch him. And love is a funny thing. Love is a fire. Fire melts ice. People that are far from God are far from the fire. Their life is icy. When was the last time you had a very, very, very cold day and you were not dressed warm enough and the cold began to go all the way through to your bones to the point that you actually found it difficult to walk? It was like you began to look like a little stick figure when you walked. Can cold do that? Cold does that all the time. Well, cold can kill you. And then it's amazing how when you just go and stand in front of the fire, 1 minute, 2 minutes, everything begins to loosen up. You start feeling alive again. Everything, you know, difficult things become easy again. Now, it's exactly the same. Let's say I'm full of love, but he's ice cold. And I have interaction with him, and I begin to talk to him. I don't even necessarily have to talk about spiritual things. The Holy Spirit is amazing how he can use even everyday things to touch somebody's life. Maybe we just in a conversation, and I share with him something that happened in my life, but something about the way I talk, something about the way I come across, something about me that he can't put his finger on is touching him. He was full of anger, full of rage, full of... And then in that time that we spoke together, suddenly, he's at peace. He's going to say to me, what is it about you? Who are you? Why are you so different? You know, I read a book once on Smith Wigglesworth. A very, very interesting man. If you can ever find a book on Smith Wigglesworth, I can only advise you to get a hold of it, to read it. This man moved in the power of the Holy Spirit on a level that we just not used to. God truly anointed this man in a very, very powerful way. And it is said that there was a time when he got onto a train. And he went and he sat in the corner of the train and he was reading his newspaper. Or actually, he just had the newspaper in front of him. And if I remember correctly, he sat and he was busy praying. And he began to pray for the people that was on this train with him in the compartment. And halfway between where they started and where the journey was going to take them, he heard a lot of sobbing and crying. And when he put the newspaper down and he looked, all the people were down on their knees crying and sobbing. And one of the men looked at him and said, "Who are you? There's something about you. Your presence in this place is convicting me of the sin in my life." What was happening? The fire of God, the love of God inside of this man was beginning to touch the people around him. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, come to me, all who are thirsty, come to me and drink. And I will give you the water, the living water of the Holy Spirit. You will never thirst again, and streams of living water will come gushing from within you. When Smith Wigglesworth sat on that train, and he was under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, he has a key thing that you must know about the anointing. The anointing can flow. Jesus said, streams of living water will come gushing, flowing from within you. When you are really full of the anointing flows out of you. Now, Jesus compared it to water. If I'm standing here and I'm imitating a fire hydrant, you open the tap and the water begins to leave, come out of me. This man is going to get wet. This man is going to get wet. This woman is going to get wet. And in the end, if it happens for long enough, everybody's going to get wet. Everybody will be touched. Not everybody will experience it in exactly the same way, but everybody will be touched. The best way to evangelize is not to evangelize at all. And I don't mean that in a bad or a disrespectful way. When it's the Spirit of God convicting people, things happen like this. When it's us trying to convince people, nothing happens. You know, I've had a couple of situations where family members are very concerned because their loved ones don't want to know God, don't want to know about God, and then they set up a meeting, and the next thing I know, they come and drop off said person at my place, and, oh, please talk to them because they don't want to know nothing about God. And then you talk to them, and it ends up in an argument because these people don't want to listen. It generally doesn't go very far. But if they can be in a place where the anointing is and the power of God begins to move, it's amazing how quickly people change. It's amazing how it begins to cut to their hearts. Which brings me back to what Jesus said. He wants to bind up, which means heal, the broken hearted. You know, a lot of people also don't want nothing to do with God because they blame God for the disappointments in their life. I've seen it so many times. And then that same people come to a meeting where the Holy Spirit begins to move. And the Holy Spirit touches inside where that hurt is. And that same person that wanted nothing to do with God cries like a baby. And begins to deal with their anger, begin to deal with their rage, begin to deal with their bitterness. Why? Because God heals broken hearts. There's a lot of people in this world that react in really strange ways. And this is what I mean by that. We all know that when you have a wound somewhere, you tend to favor that area. I'll put it to you into perspective. Let's say that I've got a big cut on my arm, and I've got like 50 stitches or something ridiculous like that. And Albert comes closer. He wants to greet me. You know, he's coming for this arm. I'm going to be like, I'm immediately going to pull away because I know if you touch me, I'm going to get hurt. So I'm going to favor that. It's the same when you've got a pain in your leg. You don't walk normally. You're favoring that leg. It immediately changes who you are. It changes how you react. Now, take somebody with a lot of hurt and pain. We were speaking just now about the daggers. When a dog is hurt, and you try and faff around with it, play with it or whatever, or even try and comfort it, what does it sometimes do? It bites. Does it want to hurt you? Not necessarily. It wants to protect itself. It doesn't want you to come close because it's hurt, and it doesn't want you to cause more hurt. And its only way to communicate that to you is, don't come near me, I'm going to bite you. Well, there's a couple of you sitting here, you're doing exactly the same thing. You got a lot of hurt inside of you. And because you got all that hurt inside of you, you snap at people. And it's a defense mechanism. I'm already hurt, I don't want to get hurt anymore. And you push people away. Some people battle to be loved because they push love away. And it's not that they mean to do it. Sometimes they can't help it because something inside of you is wrong. Well, if you're pushing people away, you're going to push God away because God is love. People are trying to love you, but God is love. If you won't allow him close or that one close or your husband or your wife close, then how are you going to allow God close? Your heart needs to be fixed. Who fixes broken hearts? Well, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, he has sent me to bind up the broken hearts. You have a broken heart, the Holy Spirit has the solution. He can fix broken hearts. Then he goes on and he says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. To proclaim freedom for the captives. This is very, very important. The Holy Spirit knows that there are many captives in this world that need to be set free. Some of them are sitting in this room tonight. It's amazing what people can be in captivity to. And I don't care whether you like it or not, this is biblical stuff. Who was the Bible written for? Is the Bible written for Satanists? Well, they can read it too, but they might not accept what's in it. The Bible is the Word of God to teach children of God how to live and to reveal to us the principles that govern the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, for you and I, it is said, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Some people are in captivity. I like to call it bondage to certain things. And it's amazing what people can be in bondage to. Many years ago, a young man came to see me. He had a really strange condition. He was 21 years old and still sucking his thumb. The problem was, from all the years of sucking his thumb had become really gross. It had all these really horrible sores all over it. And even though it disgusted him to look at it, he could not help himself. He still had to suck his thumb. Obviously, he came for prayer. We sat and we spoke a bit, and I said to him, you know what, the strong feeling that I get is probably you have some kind of a spirit of rejection, and the sucking of your thumb, we know that that is to bring some kind of comfort or something to that effect. And I said to him, do you know whether you experienced rejection as a child? And he said to me, wow, it's amazing that you asked me that question. Because this week I was sitting and talking to my mother. And my mother said to me, there's something that she wants to tell me that happened when I was born that she'd never told me, and she just wants to get it off her chest. Apparently when he was born, you know, back in the day, the mother would... The baby would come out, and then they would first take the baby and go and clean the baby and everything. The mother wouldn't immediately see the baby, and then later they come and they put the baby on the mother. Today things are a bit different, but back in the day that's kind of like the way it went. And when they took this baby and they put this baby on top of the lady, she took one look at the child and started screaming, "This is not my child, this is not my child, take him away, take him away." Why she reacted that way, only God knows. But she did. Eventually they had to take him away, and then later on when she calmed down, maybe she was just in hysterics or something, I don't know. Maybe it was some of the medication. Maybe it was some devil messing around. It could be a lot of things. They brought the child back and she accepted the child, but the damage was done. At the moment when she was supposed to receive the child and cover the child with love and protection, she rejected the child. Immediately making the child vulnerable to whatever was hanging around there looking for nonsense. This case probably being a spirit of rejection. So the spirit of rejection got a hold of the boy. And when he shared this with me, And he said to me that his mother cried and she asked him to forgive her because she doesn't know why she did that. And he said, no, Ma, don't worry. But then I understood where the spirit came from. And I said to him, now we're going to ask God, you forgive your mother and we're going to ask God to remove this thing from you. And I led him in a prayer to renounce the spirit of rejection that entered him when his mother rejected him. And you know what happened? While he started praying that prayer, this hand in which the spirit obviously had a lot of control began to contort in the most hideous way, like funny, almost like a claw. And especially the thumb, and then it began to vibrate like that. It was like that for about 5 minutes. The thing left. He never again had the compulsion to suck his thumb. The fact of the matter is, he was a young man that knew God, that loved God, but he was in bondage to something, a spirit. It wasn't something that, and this is important, it wasn't even something that he himself had caused. This was circumstances that was forced upon him. God wants to set captives free. And it's time for us to understand that a lot of the captives that the Bible talks about are people just like you and me. I want to say something about the demonic, which I think is very important for people to know. There is a very big misconception in the church when it comes to demons, evil spirits, curses, etc., etc. A lot of churches and church-going people have this idea that if you have demons, you have to be acting a little bit like the people in The Exorcist, or, you know, all of that type of stuff. Your eyes roll around in your head. Your head spins 360 degrees, changes all sorts of weird colors, and you speak with funny language, funny voices, you know. Nothing is further from the truth. I'm not saying some of those things can't happen, because I've seen a lot of really, really strange things. But sometimes it is quite amazing how normal people can look but really have a whole bunch of demons in their life. You see, demons work behind the scenes. It is not in the best interest of a demon to work in the light. In other words, to cause the kind of things that's going to make people ask, but what's wrong with this? Oh, we better find a solution. They like to work in other ways. A demon is like a termite. Everything looks okay, everything looks okay, but behind the scenes there's hardly anything left. They chip away, they eat, they eat, they eat, they're busy. They're robbing you of your peace, robbing you of your joy, but not to such an extent that you go see the pastor and say, listen, yeah, I think I've got at least 10 demons in me, please cast them out. I want to be honest with you, that very, very, very seldom happens. Most people, when you talk about this stuff to them, it's like, hey, I don't have no demons. I'm all right. Okay, if you say so. How many people are in bondage to stuff that they don't want to be in bondage to? Another story, also from a couple of years ago. A young man comes to see me. I guess he was about 25 years old. He says to me, I want you to pray for me because I am a compulsive smoker. I am a chain smoker. At that stage, if I remember correctly, he smoked about 80 cigarettes a day. And every now and then he would supplement it for a bit of really strange, weird stuff, you know. He was not just into tobacco, he was also into some other stuff. Some weird herbs and spices. And but the fact of the matter is, he told me, he hates to smoke. Now, how do you put the two together? You smoke 80 cigarettes a day, but you hate to smoke. He says every time he smokes, he feels guilty, he feels upset, he feels horrible, he feels sick inside, but he can't help himself. He's already lighting the next cigarette and it's like, ah. Oh. So he's got the pleasure of the cigarette, but then he's got torment and turmoil inside of him, but he cannot stop. And I listened to his story and I said to him, well, you know what, brother, I have to be very honest with you. you have a demon. He looked at me with his big eyes. Woo, yeah, no, big time. I said to him, you have a demon. And I said to him, the thing is, this thing probably didn't come from you. This thing probably came through your bloodline. Guess what? It did. His father was a chain smoker. His grandfather was a chain smoker. The males in his family were all chain smokers. When I prayed for him, what left him, I wish you could have been in my office that day. The smell that came out of this oak, it could peel the paint off the walls. But the spirit left him. And you know what? He never had that compulsion to smoke again. I'm trying to tell you, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives. People are in captivity to strange and weird things. The enemy will make you a captive, because captivity robs you of your joy. Captivity complicates your life. Captivity puts you in a place where you feel far from God. And that's exactly what the devil wants. But there is hope, because when the Spirit of God is there, and when the anointing of the Holy Spirit flows, when the wind blows where He wants to, things begin to change. Amen? Captivity. A family comes to see me. The first boy that I prayed for was in a place where somebody tried to cast a demon out of him. It's a long story and it's for another day, but somebody tried to cast this demon out of this boy. And then apparently this was not some Mickey Mouse ho-ho, this was something quite powerful. Have you ever read the Seven Sons of Sceva? They tried to cast out some demon and the thing turned on them. And this is exactly what happened this night. Somebody that knew a bit about this stuff, but not enough and had no authority, tried to cast out this demon, got the demon all charged up, and the demon started breaking everything and causing major havoc. And it was about 12 o'clock at night, I get a phone call and I hear these panicked screams in the background. Eventually, I get the gist of it. This is what happened, and now this demon is charged in this boy, and it's freaking out, and nobody can get it to stop. And it's laughing at everybody, etc., etc. I said, all right, fine, I'm coming. I get there, the place looks like a war zone. Couches are upturned, there's debris everywhere, and the people of the house all look like they've been through the war. And the thing is sitting in the boy there, laughing at all of them. Ah, where's your God? Where's your God? Come, come, come. Where's your power? I said, devil, don't you try me. In Jesus' name, you leave now. And when I spoke, this thing looked at me. And then he started laughing at me. And I said, fair enough. We will see where the power comes from. You know, it's a bit like, I think it was Elijah that said, okay, you call on your gods. See if it brings fire. I'll call on my God. We'll see if it brings fire. The God that answers with fire, that's the real God. I said to him, you laugh, but he who laughs last will laugh best. Guess what? The demon left. Now, this boy went home. He told his whole family what happened. They all had the fright of their life. That Sunday, they were all in church. I'm not lying to you. I'm talking like 40 people. God has a sense of humor, I tell you what. The devil became an evangelist. He's like, he sent everybody to church. That Sunday, the whole family sat in church. But now, you must understand, now this family, the boy shared what happened to him. And so now the people in the family were all like very concerned. Yeah, but what if we've also got this stuff? I said, well, I can't say if you have or if you haven't, but if we pray, we will see. Something amazing happened. All the men in that family died at a young age of heart attacks. The father of this boy had already lost four brothers, if I remember correctly, to heart attacks. And he'd already had three massive coronary heart attacks. Have I only got 10 minutes left? Wow. They say time flies when you're having fun. So anyway, the father came. I prayed for him. Guess what happened? God is my witness. The next moment, this oak falls down on the floor, clutches his chest, goes blue in the face, tongue starts coming out. He's having a heart attack right there in my office. I thought, what? I want to tell you something. You've all seen me pray, but you've never seen me pray like that day. Oh, Lord, please. But I knew it was a demon because people don't just get heart attacks when you pray for them. Come on, it doesn't work that way. The demon left him. Here's the interesting thing. It left him. It left both of his sons. That year, he went to a place where they tested him. Because he had had so many massive heart attacks, apparently it's easily detectable. What? Scar tissue, yeah. All sorts of things. And also heart rhythm and, you know, the whole toot. They tested him. They tested him again. They tested him again. They came back to him and they said to him, listen, yeah, we don't know how to explain this. But we find no traces of a heart attack in your body whatsoever. You've got the heart of like a 20-year-old. He was healed. But now, again, we're talking about bondage. This family was in bondage to the spirit of heart attack. Where did it come from? Only God knows. I don't know. But the good news is, Jesus came to set the captives free. Okay. To proclaim freedom for the captives. A lot of people are in captivity. They might not realize that they are in captivity, but they are. If you can't get rid of something, then something is holding on to you. Sometimes it can be certain thought patterns. Sometimes it can be a certain lifestyle. Sometimes it can be problems in your body. Sometimes it's like a form of addiction. I've already spoken about addiction. But the fact of the matter is, God doesn't want you to live that way. And when the Spirit of God comes, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because one of those because things is He wants to help us to be set free. And He wants to help us to help others to be set free. The good news here is God still sets the captives free, even though a lot of people tell you these things can't happen. You know, this is one of those things when you start talking about this stuff, people get very upset and very offended. Because you know what? We don't have demons in the church. There are a lot of church-going demons. Gossip is one of them. Divisions is one of them. Lies is one of them. Heresy is one of them. And then, I can't call it my old personal favorite because it's not my favorite, but I encounter him many times. The religious spirit. Ooh, he loves to go to church. And he loves to quote you Bible verses. He loves to confuse the issue. Got a lot to say. You think the devil doesn't know? Many years ago, I dealt with a woman. She was involved in the occult. She knew the Bible back to front. I remember many times her sitting and arguing with me about biblical stuff. And I thought to myself, yesterday, where's all this stuff coming from? And the one day I said, in the name of Jesus, I come against this religious spirit. I command you to leave. And her whole face began to contort. Her tongue came out and it became thick, 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 thick. And this demon left her. Interesting fact, after that she couldn't quote the Bible. What was speaking through her was a demon. And it knew the Bible quite well. It could not get revelation from the Bible. But the information in here, it knew. And it knew when to put certain scriptures that confuse you and eventually get you to like not know what's potting. Religious spirits like to go to church. They like to confuse people. And I want to just say something to this. You know, the Apostle Paul says, let's not argue about religious matters. because it profits nobody. It's amazing to me how many people go to church just to argue. And for them, that's okay. Listen, yeah, my friend, the Bible says we're not going to argue about these things. There's nothing to argue about. It is in black and white. This is the Word of God. One day I went to a church. I ministered on the Holy Spirit. I preached about 5 minutes. Okay. I'm landing. I'm coming down. I preached about the Holy Spirit and about how the Holy Spirit works. And I gave the relevant scriptures. And then a gentleman got up and he said to me, you know what? That's rubbish. It doesn't work like that. I said, excuse me? What you mean it's rubbish? I just quoted you what the Bible says. Yeah, well, it's not like that. I said, sir, you know what? We're not going to discuss this any further. And I refuse to argue with you. If you can't even accept the validity of the Word of God, there's nothing I can say to change your mind. Let's stop it right here. And the guy was very offended with me, but I don't care. What are we going to argue about if it's on black and white and you still won't accept the truth? Then we drop it. We're not going to argue. We leave it. And release from darkness for the prisoners. Now again, it refers to prisoners. Again, prisoners are people that are in bondage. There's a lot of people that go to church that are in bondage. Yes, there's a lot more people that don't go to church that are also in bondage. But let me help you to understand something. You know, the ministry of deliverance is when you cast demons out of people. It's like the stepsister of the ministries. It's like the one most people don't want to talk about, you know. But it's very necessary. Jesus had no problem with it, and Jesus did it wherever he went. Okay, so now you sneezed and I forgot what I wanted to say. I'm not lying, I actually forgot completely. It's over, what's over? Oh, was that the signal? You forgot to tell me. Prisoners. Okay, you know what? Probably it'll come out next week. Come next week. In the meantime, it'll come back. Anyway, let's ask the question. Did you learn something today? Then give the Lord a big hand. It's only going to work once. All right, so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to allow us to bring good news. It is to bring the Word of God. When it is brought in truth and when it is accurate, it sets the captives free. Amen. Amen. Amen.